As grandparents, we are able to get the grandkids and we spoil them rotten, feed them all kinds of candy, then give them back to the parents, right? And let them handle them. Well, you know, every once in a while, I'm like the grandparent that gets the congregation and who knows what I'm going to do while Pastor Tim is gone. And I'll just do whatever I do. But when he comes back, he has to deal with it. So I can just do what I'm going to do and then let him deal with it, you know, because that, anyway, no. This is New Year's Eve Day. And I'm not really giving a New Year's Eve message, but in a way it is a New Year's Eve message. On a New Year's Eve, what do we think about? Resolutions, right. And what is the main resolution that is picked up every New Year? Lose weight. That's it. How many of you have gone through that one? One time, two times, 20 times, 150 times. Okay. Well, anyway, I'm not going to speak about losing weight. Or there's other things, too, that we have New Year's resolutions. Sometimes it's time. I want to use my time better. I don't want to be a waster of time. And sometimes we use a New Year's resolution to deal with negative aspects of our life. Amen? Yeah, we've got a few of those, don't we? Sometimes we deal with the absence of positive aspects in our life. But you know, when we look from a Christian perspective, sometimes I think we need to consider our New Year's resolution, and if we're going to have one, restoring Christian patterns in our life. Amen? Christian patterns. Christian patterns are the way we're supposed to act. Okay? We have our ideas of the way we're supposed to act. But you know, every Christian pattern for Christian living is found in the Word of God. And if we want to know about a Christian pattern to develop and add to our life, we need to look to the Word of God and depend upon it to put us in the right direction, one might say. So God's Word. Boy, I thought we were in a heavenly circle. We were hearing some music up there. The Word of God calls us, as a pattern, calls us first and foremost to serve Him. No. The Word of God calls us first is a key word, first and foremost to worship Him. It does call us to do that, but not first and foremost. No. It calls us first and foremost to praise Him. Amen. No. Who knows what it calls us first and foremost to do? Love Him. That's what it calls us to do. These others couldn't be an expression of our love toward God. But He calls us first and foremost to love Him. The Bible says with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, with all of our strength. But how do we do that? How do we do that? How do we love Him? Or what is it? It's an expression of love, is to say, I love you. Don't those words kind of make you tingle inside? I never get tired of my wife telling me that she loves me. Never get tired of that. And I'll tell you, one of the sweetest things in the world is when your child reaches an age where they can say, I love you, Daddy. I love you, Daddy. And then there comes a time when your grandchildren say, come up, I love you, Grandpa. I love you, Grandma. There's nothing that tickles me pink, if I could be tickled pink, than to have my kids say, express that to me. I have a 27-year-old son. Every time we talk on the phone, the very last thing that he says to me before we say goodbye is, Dad, I love you. And it never loses that that special, almost, it's almost like an anointing comes over me. I feel it. I feel the love. I feel the flood of the love that can be there. Do you know, we need to say, I love you, Lord. And I can understand why God, the Bible says, is a jealous God. He doesn't want me giving, He wants me to be giving my love toward Him, not just everything else. I love my car. I love my job. I love this, I love that. He says in the Word that anyone who puts anything ahead of me, anyone, really doesn't know Him. Boy, it's quiet in here. Praise is not intended to be empty and expressionless. It needs to be an expression. Praise is loving God. Praise is loving God. The church, my friends, don't you know the church needs to be delivered from a self-consciousness to a God-consciousness? A self-consciousness, worried about how I appear or how it appears to a God-consciousness. God is seeking those in a worship service to worship Him. Amen? And He's seeking who is going to worship Him in His service. It is His service, not ours. Think about that once. Worship is an anointing that comes from God's own heart. Praise can lead to worship, but praise in itself is not always worship. And we're going to look at some rudiments of praise that bring us into worship. But what is praise? Some of you have gotten a handout that has all kinds of scripture on it. I'm going to use a lot of scripture today. Remember, a pattern of living has to be got from the Word of God, and so I've put that in your hands. I put that in your hands. Now, forgive me if it's King Jimmy. Because, you know, King James, so a little NIV there. It doesn't matter what interpretation you have, or translation, I should say. Okay. Anyway, so praise is thanking God for His doings. Okay? Thanking God for what He does. Worship does not involve itself in God's doings. Worship involves itself in God's person and God's presence. That's where worship really is entered into, is when we enter into the person of God and the presence of God. In the next 2 weeks, may we see the difference between praising God for His doings and when God's person and His presence inhabits the praises of His people. In the scripture, we find the basic pattern of praise that's going to lead us into worship. That's in the scripture. It's a revolutionary pattern. Revolutionary pattern. What is a revolution? A revolution is going against that which is established. Hear me? And it's a revolution because it may go against or oppose that which is established in your life or the church's life or my life. First, can we agree on one thing? In Christ, we will find deliverance.
Amen.
Amen. In Christ, we will find victory.
Amen.
In Christ, we will find liberty. Psalms 22:22, the very first verse on your sheet. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. In the midst, say that, in the midst. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. When the priests approached Mount Zion, they did not do so with wild abandonment, but they did so with order and congruency. It is David taught the Levites how to worship. how to praise. Tradition shows us that. That he had a lot to do with the ministry that went on through the Levites. They did so following the ascending order of ministry found in Psalms 122 through 134. And after a full day of preparation, they would ascend Mount Zion to worship. Think about that. After a full day of preparation. How much preparation do we put in before we come and worship? Shame on me. How much preparation do we put in? We need to be aware that when you come in to worship God, you need to prepare your heart. I mean, hopefully the last thing is not the argument you had with your wife or your husband on the way to church. Or the kids, or the grandkids, or whatever. But we want to prepare our hearts for worship. That means even when you get up in the morning, prepare your heart for worship. Prepare your heart for worship. It's so important. It's so important that we do so. Well, anyway, let's get back. After a full day of preparation, they would ascend Mount Zion. They would be singing 24 different choruses, one element of praise building upon another, the priests ascending, God descending, and where they met was worship. Proverbs 27:21 says, as the fining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his worship. This is an inversion in the Hebrew. It really means as praise is refined by the man is refined by his praise. Your praise will have something to do with your life. There are seven Hebrew words that are translated praise found in the ascending accord of ministry I just mentioned. And this was not, it is not warm-ups. It's not warm-ups. It's not, have you ever heard the word preliminaries? It's not preliminary to anything. That's why we come here to worship God. And so when the musicians stand before you and lead you into praise, which is a part and can lead into worship, you have to understand this is one of the most important times of the service. Worship doesn't end at the last chorus. Worship is not, and praise is not just singing. It's an attitude of the heart. It's an attitude of the heart. Well, you know, oftentimes we stop praising God when we should start. We stop praising God when we should really start. Now, the first word that's translated praise is toda. 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 T-O-D-A-H. If you haven't got a sheet that has all of it on there, you need to get it. Get the sheet. So my ushers are out there and someone doesn't have a sheet, you find them. Okay? Anyway, toda. Toda. T-O-W-A-D-A. It is the extension of the hands in adoration. It's the extension of the hands in adoration. Thanking God for things not yet received as well as things at hand. Rejoicing in that which is guaranteed also by God's word, but not yet taken place yet. Toda praise is a sacrifice of thanksgiving. It's a sacrifice because, why? Because I don't want to do it. Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes how many of you don't really want to raise your hands to the Lord? Hey, you don't want to. It's a sacrifice in that I do it, but I don't really want to do it. You know, we're mentally, how can I say, mentally we can be scattered in and out of the service. You can be sitting there right now and thinking about where are we going to go to eat? You can spend your whole service trying to determine where are we going to go to eat. I don't have to worry about that because I'm going to the parsonage to eat. So, but some of you, that's, and typically we've gone out on Sundays too. But you can be sitting there thinking, where are we going to go out to eat? Or you can say, boy, Pastor Sure's got some sharp duds on today, doesn't he? You know, you could be thinking, looking at that singer's really singing out, you know. We can be thinking about a dozen things. We think, what's going to happen on Monday? Oh, I got this job at work. I got to attend this other thing. I got to do this. I got to do that. And you're all that time, you're singing, praise the name of Jesus. Your mind is not there. It's not in the worship service. It's not there. So, mentally we can be scattered in and out. The purpose of total praise is to focus on who? Jesus, God. To focus on Jesus. At the same time, waiting and depending upon God's word to see it done. In Jeremiah 1:12 it says, then said the Lord unto them, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. God is watching God's word. We can watch God's word to perform it. Moving on the basis of God's word, when we move on the basis of God's word, God will honor that every time, my friends. Psalms 50:23, whoso offereth praise, whoso offereth toda, glorifieth me. And to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God. Toda praise, hands uplifted, palms turned in. I'm a vessel, God. I long to worship you. The objective of toda praise is to focus on Jesus. Then the inner man, the spirit of man, can gain control over the soul and the intellect of man. You see, there's two times to praise the Lord. When you feel like it, and when you don't. Okay? Okay? How do you tota? I told you before, it's the lifting of the hands. It signifies a need. Our kids in kids' church, they know if they have a need, they got to raise their hand, and we'll respond to that need. It's a signification of a need. It's also a signification of warmth and love. How many of your children, what did this mean? Up, up, up. Pick me up, Daddy. I signify I need my God. Oh, God, pick me up. You know, it signifies a need. It says I'm a vessel. It also signifies something, too, if you got a gun shoved in your back. I surrender! I surrender a need, and I surrender. Now, that's a very important part of total praise, and also it's the quoting of the Word of God. God, you said in your Word, if my people who are called by thy name shall humble themselves and pray and seek your face, then you will, and they turn from their wicked ways, then you will hear them from heaven, and you will forgive their sins, and you will heal their land. What a way of worshiping God with the Word of God. That's why scriptural choruses are so popular. And I tell you what, years ago, and I'm not living in the past, but there's good things about years ago as that we can apply to the present. Amen? Back in the 70s, when every psalm ended up being a chorus. Every psalm ended up being a chorus. We sang choruses after choruses after choruses. Everybody then said, wish we'd sing the hymns. That's okay. Hymns have a place too. They have great theology in hymns. But don't forget the choruses. They're God's word. Some of those choruses were written on Mount Zion as the Levites were ascending Mount Zion. They'd hear someone singing in the Spirit, and we'll talk about that next week, singing in the Spirit, and they'll say, hey, that was a good one. Write that one down. And it became a psalm. Now we're going to move into the second. It's Yada. Y-A-D-A-H. Now it's the lifting of the hands. But it's the lifting of the hands now with strength. With strength. The lifting of the hands with strength. The extension of the hands, thrusting them outward and upward. It's a free sacrifice now. It's a free sacrifice. Mentally, we're now focused on Jesus, and the Spirit is in control. In Psalm 118:21, it says, I will praise thee, I will yada thee, for thou hast heard me and art become my salvation. It was not yada, it was toda. I maintain that he heard toda, he was listening to it, he heard it, and it's in the scripture. 54:6, Psalm 54:6, I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. Still a sacrifice, but it's coming freely. Psalms 111:1. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The key to Yada is my whole heart is no longer divided. I'm no longer in and out of the service. I am focused on Jesus. My heart is seeking God and praise. My heart is loving God. Hallelujah. Isn't that exciting? If you can't get excited about that, well, anyway, we'll get to that later. Who should Yada? In Psalm 67:3, it talks about Yada. It says, may the people Yada you. And, O God, may all the people praise or Yada you. We can, and once you hit this point, you're sliding down a slippery slope, folks. If you can get to that free sacrifice of praise so quickly you can move in to that next element of praise, which is halal. Halal, it's a beautiful form of praise. It literally means to be clear, to shine, to boast, to be clamorously foolish. Clamorously foolish. The most common form of praise recorded in the scripture is halal. And it's the word we get hallelujah from. Can you say hallelujah? Priests could no longer stand still before the Lord. They began to rejoice in the liberty that they had before the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Psalms 119:175 says, let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, it shall halal thee, and let thy judgments help me. May my soul praise thee. Let my spirit gain control over my mental faculties, my mind, my emotions, my will. Hallelujah. At this point, we won't be bound. We cannot be bound by self-images of when we're at our spiritual best. I like to move in the Spirit of God as He moves me through. And you know, it is God moving me through. You know, we're a product. You know, when I first got saved, I thought you could only pray in King James. Anyone else there? You know? Thou hast come into my life, dear, almighty and powerful God. Thee and thou and thus and whatever. It wasn't until later that I found out you could just talk to God. Respectfully. But I could talk to God. You see, we have to get rid of some of these images that we think we perceive ourselves at our spiritual best. You know where our spiritual best is? Our spiritual best is right here. You see what I mean? That's our spiritual best. We don't want to impress people with that position. You know, we got to get rid of this. Well, you know, we're a mixture of all the images that we've seen in our life as Christians and those of us that have known the Lord for a long time. A missionary from Marshall Islands shared this once. He said, if I get down here, then I get off my notes, then I'm really in trouble. Because it might go longer than you think. Anyway, he was in the Marshall Islands. Great revival in the Marshall Islands. I'll probably talk about that next week. I may give you a little hint this week. An evangelist would come, and the evangelist would come, and he'd be preaching, and they'd have great revival. They'd have many people would be saved. And that evangelist would come. You know how years ago the machine gun preacher? You know? Nothing, I'm not saying anything bad against that. A lot of people were saved. You know, and that was an anointing, and it's like the preacher wanted to get it all out before the anointing lifted. And I understand that because sometimes I talk too fast. So there'd be a Marshallese pastor, an evangelist would come to the Marshallese Island, and he'd be preaching, and he'd say, "Anyone you come to the throne of your own Lord, he will come and save you, and he will take you to heaven, and he will do all this for you." And forever after he'd leave the island, the Marshallese pastors would say, "And you know, I gotta come to the Lord." And you knew that had been to the field. And hundreds would be saved. Now that's not to say that there's anything wrong with that, but I just want you to know that sometimes we're a product of the ministry that we've been associated with over the years. And we need to rid ourselves sometimes of some of those images that we've picked up. Because God must move. He must move a step ahead of where you're at. Otherwise, we'll always circle on known ground. And if we circle on known ground, we'll never experience growth. Now, some of the things that I'm going to share with you may be a little bit foreign to you. They may even not set with you. But you know, there's a lot of things in the Word that doesn't set with us. Understand that. But I do know one thing. If I operate from that perspective of what does God's words have to say, I can never go wrong. I can never go wrong. So step out in faith. Step out in faith. Try it. You'll like it. Respond to God's word. You know, contrary to what we may think, God does not lead his children to heaven. He drags us all the way. Sometimes we're not really responding as we should. And just like a child is brought into the right attitude, sometimes we have to be brought into the right attitude. You know what the woodshed is? How many of you have been taken to the woodshed by God? I will raise my hand. But forget about the conjured up in your image. Now, turn to, if you have your Bibles, turn to me, with me, since I don't have this one written out, Psalm 150, way to the end. Okay, very last psalm. All the instances of halal are used in that psalm. Every place it says praise, it refers to halal. Halal. You know, that's one thing about the Hebrew. You can have a word that's translated into praise, but there are several words that mean or are associated with praise. Okay, so that's what we're looking at, one of them now. Praise, halal ye the Lord. Praise God in the sanctuary. You know. Shine, boast, rave in the presence of the Lord in the sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Halal Him according to His excellent greatness. Halal Him in the sound of the trumpet. Halal Him with the psalter and the harp. Halal Him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise Him, halal Him with the strings, instruments, and organs. Halal Him upon the loud cymbals. Halal Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath breath halal the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. You know, if you check it right now, every one of us in this room are breathing. If not, someone better call. Everything that hath breath, let him praise, let him halal, let him shine, let him boast, let him praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There's nothing wrong with dancing. Dancing. when it's motivated by the Spirit, not necessarily the flesh. Jeremiah 31:13. Then shall the virgins rejoice in their dance, both young men and old men together. La 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 la. And I will turn their mourning into joy, and I will comfort them, and I will rejoice from their sorrow, and they shall rejoice from their sorrow. That's slow. It should go. Then shall the virgins rejoice. No, I'm not going to do it anymore. I'm out of breath already. But you need to realize God, dance can honor God. It doesn't have to be orchestrated and practiced and, you know, but there are times that we're not performing for anyone. We're just caught up in the joy of the Lord. And don't tell me that you never do it, because I know some of you probably do, but you probably do it not in the main sanctuary. Well, maybe that'll change. I heard an amen. I heard an amen out there. It was just faint. But anyway, don't be too quick to criticize what you hear. Don't be too quick to criticize. 2 Samuel 6:14. And David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was girded with a linen ephod. He wasn't dancing in his flowing robes that denoted his position as the king over Israel. He was in his undergarments. In verse 16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And the greatest curse on any woman at this day in this culture was to be barren. Because she despised it in her heart, the scripture says that she was barren. She was going to have no children. 149:3 says, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and the harp. Now, yes, dancing can be in the flesh. Remember when the daughter of Herodias danced before Herod, and he said, you can have anything in the kingdom. And she says, I want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. That was not motivated by the Spirit, believe me. And the children of Israel, when they talked Aaron into building or constructing a golden calf, and it says in the scripture in the 32nd chapter in the 19th verse that they danced before it. Danced before it. That is exciting. I get excited when I think of us praising and worshiping God in full bore measure. You know, and I'm not trying to build or present to you a formula, but I'm just telling you what it says in the scripture. And there are different types of praise. There are different types of praise. It says in Psalms 115:17, the dead praise not the Lord, neither any that go down into silence. The dead cannot praise the Lord. But don't you know, not all the dead are in the cemeteries in Oregon. We are alive in Christ. I got one amen. We are alive in Christ. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. He's alive forevermore, alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing hallelujah, sing hallelujah. My Jesus is alive. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive, alive forevermore. Alive, alive, alive forevermore. My Jesus is alive. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive forevermore. Sing alleluia, sing alleluia. My Jesus is alive. We are in the midst of receiving God's word, but we're in the midst of worshiping God at the same time. There's nothing wrong with Pastor Tim breaking out in a chorus in the middle of his message. Nothing at all. It brings honor and it brings glory and it brings praise to the Lord. Understand the true significance of the death, burial, and resurrection. And when you understand the true significance of the death, the burial, and the resurrection, and what God's prepared for you and my, and me, not I, me, then you can sing alive, alive, alive forevermore from a whole different perspective. Not just as words, and it's a nice song. It not only makes you feel good, but it blesses the heart of God as you enter into that knowledge of what it means to be alive in Christ. Yes. Hallelujah. Alive in Christ. We are alive in Christ. Can you say amen? Now at this point in the service, when people are halaling before the Lord, at this point in the service, three personalities surface. There's the worrier. Oh God, please have Pastor stop this halaling before the Lord. Oh God, I've been after Gertrude to come to a service for 6 months and she's finally here and he just will not stop halaling before the Lord. I will share with you next week about someone who came to one of the services in Sprague, Oregon, and we were going bananas for the Lord that morning. You don't do it every morning. You just don't put him in a box like that. But that morning we really got into worship and into praise. And I'll tell you, you got to come next week to hear the story. Hey, isn't that great? Yeah, I can whet your appetite too. Anyway, I don't even know. Oh, that doesn't work. God will honor you moving in accordance with what? His word. Then, the second type of individual, personality you have, is the watcher. Now, the watcher is excited. The watcher's excited. He's just so excited for those around him that are entering into halal and worshiping God. He's so excited for that, you know, and he's anxious for the people he sees that aren't entering in. But all he does is wildly watch. He never enters in. And then the third person type is the little worshiper. The one that's focused on Jesus and has her heart or his heart or her heart just focused on Jesus and says, you know, I don't understand all of this, but I'm just entering into it in faith. The little worshiper that raises their hand to the Lord, not because pastor's telling them to, but because the God's word speaks to it. Operating from the perspective of God's word. I don't know. I understand that God, your word says this. Pastor shared this, and now I'm entering into it. And I worship you and I praise you. You see, you do not have to worship with songs. You may not know the song. Oh, so what? You can worship God anyway. You know, you may learn the songs as you go and worship songs. Songs will become a part of your worship, but that isn't necessary. If you've come to worship God, I don't think that Pastor Tim is going to be upset that you're down there worshiping God and maybe not singing a song. Because the song is worship, it's entering in, and you're entering into worship. Ask my wife I've changed every chorus that you've ever heard. So when I sing a chorus with you later on in the service, we're going to sing about 3 or 4 choruses at the end of my preaching. I may have different words. I don't know. Because I just worship God. And it fits, so I sing it. Well, you may be sitting out there and may say to me, well, Pastor, we know what you say is true, but Pastor, do we have to do it in our main service? We get together on Friday nights and we just go bananas for the Lord. Or you might be of the persuasion, Pastor, in my private prayer closet, I go bananas for Jesus. And some of you do that. I know what your private prayer closet is. It's your car. How many of you go bananas for Jesus in your car? No one's going to confess? Yeah, there's some confession out there. I see some. God sees that hand too. Anyway. No, we opened up with the verse. Psalm 22:22. I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee. The word there is, hello. I will shine. I will boast. I will be clamorously foolish. I will rave in your presence. That's what it says. And it says that I will declare thy name to my brethren in the what? Midst of the what? Congregation. Are we a congregate? We are a congregate, yes. I finished my case. I'm not a lawyer, but I'm looking at your page now. I wondered, where'd the last page of my message go? Well, there it is. Okay, David said for beginners. We're still talking about, remember, we're just going through 3 Hebrew words. Todah, Yada, and Halal. And Halal, David said for beginners in Psalm 119:164, 7 times a day do I praise thee, the word is Halal, thee, because of thy righteous judgments. 7 times a day I halal thee, I boast, I rave, I shine, I bubble over with excitement as I get excited about who you are, God, and I worship for you who you are, not what you've done, but who you are. And 7 times a day, I don't know how many times I've been in Safeway is probably was at one time my place where God would sneak up on me. You know, you're in Safeway, you're shopping, and all of a sudden, you just get a little bit of a bubble in you. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember one time I was doing that and coming down the aisle, and I had my eyes closed. Never go down an aisle, don't close your eyes. Especially in this, Safeway, in Staten, during Christmas. You're taking your life in your own hands. I've never seen a store that aisles are aisles, right? But they're trying to sell you everything. They got things that far out from the edge. Anyone hear what I'm saying? Stacked all up, and if you got your eyes closed, you're looking around, you're going to run right over them. Anyway, what was I talking about? Okay. Praising God. I've been going down the aisle at Safeway and then Walmart, and just sometimes it just God comes over me and I'm thinking about him and I just praise his name. Hallelujah. Praise to Jesus. In the car. Oh, that's wonderful. Man, you can sing at the top of your lungs. Top of your lungs, as long as your windows are up. You know, you can praise God. You can make up your own songs. Ah, we're going to get to that tomorrow. Next week. It's Tehillah. Tehillah. We'll talk about that. And I've been in an escalator, going up an escalator or down an escalator, and it just come out of me. You know, you do it. You're in your garden. You do it. You're outside. You're here. You're there. He says, for beginners, 7 times a day do I halal thee. So, you know, it's just not for the sanctuary. But you know, I find that when we take upon ourselves an attitude of praise and worship throughout the week, we will more readily bring that with us as we come to a service on Sunday. Praise the Lord. You know, I'm not preaching this. I kidded Pastor. I says, I can say all the things you can't say. I said, I can make them mad at me. And I'm not making you mad at me. I don't see anyone mad at me yet. But sometimes I get after my kids in kids' church about worshiping and praising and prayer, you know, and some of them, you just see them. You say, let's lift our hands to the Lord. You know, what does the Bible say? If we're going to enter the kingdom of God, we have to become like little children. Little children. They respond to His word. You know, and they get blessed. They get blessed. Little Stormy in there. When she praises the Lord, she raises her hand and closes her eyes. A lot of the time it's one hand. But I tell you, a bomb could go off and she's not going to open her eyes. You know. And we raise our hands and we can learn from them. We can learn from them. We can learn from them. Well, Psalm 63, we're not supposed to have this much fun. No. Psalm 63, 5. And my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Now, my friends, if there's a prerequisite to entering into halal, it is to do so with joyful lips. The Holy Spirit does not lay it upon you without your participation. He's not going to come down and all of a sudden make you do something that you don't feel at liberty at doing. Toda, I don't want to do it, but I'm doing it because your word says to do it. Yada, free sacrifice. And then halal, to be clamorously foolish. How is Toda initiated? You initiated. How is Yada initiated? You initiated. How is halal initiated? You initiated. Psalm 63, 3 and 4. Because thy loving, this is a chorus as old as the hills. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. I lift my hands, Lord, unto thy name. My lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. I will lift up my hands unto thy name. You see, participating in your praise. When I sing a chorus, and I don't always do what I'm supposed to do, but generally when that chorus or that song expresses an action of praise and worship that some that we're discussing, I can't help but do it. The hard part, the hardest one I have is when I sing a song that says, bow down before me. I want to bow down on the ground, but at least I'm going to bow my head. And you may think, well, Pastor Denny's a little weird. What's he doing that for, you know? But it's all a part of worship. All a part of praise. We say, well, you know, Pastor, Psalms
is in the Old Testament. It's in the Old Testament. It is in the Old Testament. It is in the Old Covenant. The Old Covenant. And, you know, we are not a part of the Old Covenant today. Well, I tell you what, there's a lot of things in the Old Covenant. If you're going to throw out the baby with the bathwater, you're in trouble. Because Jesus said, I come to fulfill the Old Covenant. So his rules are even greater than what was in the Old Covenant, if you really study it out. You study out giving, for instance. Huh, Old Covenant says 10%. The New Covenant through Jesus, they've estimated up to probably 30% or more. Actually, it's all God's. I'm just a steward. You know? So nothing is mine. Nothing is mine. It's for another generation. It's for a generation past. Well, you've already read in your notes ahead of me, Psalm 102:18. Let this be written. What does it say? Let this be written for a future generation, that a people not yet created may hallow the Lord. See, not yet created may hallow the Lord. Not yet created. That's you and me, brother and sister. That's us. We have been called upon to minister to the Lord. The Levites were called upon to minister to the Lord. And they ministered to the Lord through praise and worship. And we've been called upon in this day and age. I got a squeaky shoe, you can all hear it. In a moment we're going to sing, and hopefully you won't be able to hear my squeaky shoe. We've been called upon to minister to the Lord. And that means you participate in your praise. That's what's great about some of the choruses that came from the Psalms. Psalm 63 was thy loving kindness. There's one, Psalm 47:1. And all of you know it. If you're a hand clapper, you know it. Clap your hands, all ye people. Glory. And we'll get into some of those scriptures next week. Next week we're going to be looking at four different aspects of praise and worship. It gets better and better. Like I said, we're on a downhill slide. Okay? But we're going to stand now. It also, I can quote a scripture that says about standing in the presence of God in the congregation. So people wonder, why do we stand up in church? Well, gentlemen, when a lady here enters the room, why do you stand up?
Respect.
Respect for that. We stand out of respect. Also, you don't fall asleep that way. Praise God. So you may not know this chorus, but we're going to sing it. And we're going to finish out our service by worshiping God. And like I said, we don't have to have instruments. We don't have to have songs being sung. We can worship God even though we don't know the music, the songs. Sometimes I sit back, especially nowadays, I go to district functions and I have no idea where to get these songs from. You know, but I just worship God anyway. It doesn't matter. Okay? Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. Hosanna, Hosanna. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Praise Him, praise Him. Shout unto God with the voice of praise. It's unbelievably. I hope I didn't change all the words, because I gave the words to Will, and believe it or not, on the internet, I don't think he was able to find it. But that's the way I remember it. How many of you remember it that way? No one does. Okay, one person. Okay.